The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 18, text number 55, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on March 20th, 2007, in Skopje, Macedonia.
So, tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 18, text number 55. Om Namo Bhagavat. Te Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Bhaktyamam abhijanati
Yavan yashchashmi tatvatah
Tathomang tatvato gyatva
Vishate tadanantaram.
Translation: one can understand me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me, by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. Purport: the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and his plenary portions cannot be understood by mental speculation nor by the non-devotees. If anyone wants to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he has to take the pure devotional service under the guidance of a pure devotee. Otherwise, the truth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead will always be hidden. As already stated in the Bhagavad Gita 7.25, Nahang Prakasya Sarvasya, he is not revealed to everyone. No one can understand God simply by erudite scholarship or mental speculation. Only one who is actually engaged in Krishna consciousness and devotional service can understand what is Krishna. University degrees are not helpful. One who is fully conversant with the Krishna science becomes eligible to enter into the spiritual kingdom, the abode of Krishna. Becoming Brahman does not mean that one loses his identity. Devotional service is there, and as long as devotional service exists, there must be God, the devotee, and the process of devotional service. Such knowledge is never vanquished, even after liberation. Liberation involves getting free from the concept of material life. In spiritual life, the same distinction is there. The same individuality is there, but in pure Krishna consciousness. One should not mistakenly think that the word Vishate enters into me supports the monist theory that one becomes homogeneous with the impersonal Brahman. No. Vishate means that one can enter into the abode of the Supreme Lord in one's individuality to engage in his association and render service unto him. For instance, a green bird enters a green tree not to become one with the tree, but to enjoy the fruits of the tree. Impersonalists generally give the example of a river flowing into the ocean and merging. This may be a source of happiness for the impersonalist, but the personalist keeps his personal individuality like an aquatic in the ocean. We find so many living entities within the ocean if we go deep. Surface acquaintance with the ocean is not sufficient. One must have complete knowledge of the aquatics living in the ocean depths. Because of his pure devotional service, a devotee can understand the transcendental qualities and the opulences of the Supreme Lord in truth. As it is stated in the 11th chapter, only by devotional service can one understand. The same is confirmed here. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead by devotional service and enter into His kingdom. After attainment of the Brahma-Bhuta stage of freedom from material conception, devotional service begins by one's hearing about the Lord. When one hears about the Supreme Lord, automatically the Brahma-Bhuta stage develops and material contamination, greediness, and lust for sense enjoyment disappears. As lust and desires disappear from the heart of a devotee, he becomes more attached to the service of the Lord, and by such attachment he becomes free from material contamination. In that state of life, he can understand the Supreme Lord. This is the statement of the Srimad Bhagavatam also. After liberation, the process of bhakti or transcendental service continues. The Vedanta Sutra 4.1.12 confirms this. A prayanat tatrapi hi drishtam. This means that after liberation, the process of devotional service continues. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, real devotional liberation is defined as the reinstatement of the living entity in his own identity, his own constitutional position. The constitutional position is already explained. Every living entity is a part and parcel, fragmental portion of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, his constitutional position is to serve. After liberation, this service is never stopped. Actual liberation is getting free from the misconceptions of life.
Krishna, Svevišnjata Božja Ličnost i njegovite potpuni delovi ne može da se shvatat s umstvena spekulacija. Neposvetenici...
Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Shakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gada Mayam Dadati Svapadantikam.
So, this verse is describing that which is the most important thing. The most important thing is our relationship with God. God means our very origin. God means our origin. Some people say there is no God. But that is an absurd statement. Because do you have any experience that something is coming out of nothing? Show me one example of something coming out of nothing. Can any of you do that? Can you show me how to do that, or can you give me any case history that something came out of nothing? Ever in the history of the entire universe, is there one scientific documented evidence of something coming out of nothing? It has never been seen. It has never happened. Nothing comes out of nothing. Therefore, everything comes out of something. Which comes out of something? Which comes out of something? Back. Until you come to the original something that doesn't come from something. That is God. So, The fact that everything is coming from something proves that God exists. And since we are coming from God, God is the very ground of our being. He is the basis of everything that is real and meaningful. Therefore, to have some knowledge of God, that is the first principle of human life. If there is no knowledge of God, that is dog life, that is hog life. Therefore, this subject matter we are discussing here tonight is the most important subject matter. This should be introduced in every college and every university, in every government, in every single institution in the world. This topic must be discussed. What is God? Who is God? Who am I? And what is my relationship with God? Because we are lacking in this knowledge of God and the self. In spite of tremendous amount of advancement in material technology, we are simply turning this world into a deeper, darker hell, that's all. It's a foolish thing, actually. It doesn't have to be like this. There's nothing wrong with this material progress. There is nothing wrong with this material progress. Just like I'm using this nice technology microphone, MP3 recorder, and this will be posted on the internet. People all over the world can hear this lecture. So there's nothing wrong with this technology. But because it is being used by the general population to deny God's reality, to deny the spiritual nature of the self, therefore the human race is going down into the darkness of oblivion. So our beloved founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsupi Vajakacharja Asta Teresadashi Shimare Si Bhakti Vedanta Tri Dandi Ko Shami Maharaj Prabhupad, is the greatest revolutionary in the history of the world. He is the most powerful spiritual master in the history of the world, because he is introducing the science of God in such a perfect scientific way. And at the same time has started ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, to demonstrate practically what is a culture based on this knowledge. So we, the members of ISKCON, are in a position to render the most important service to this greatest of all spiritual masters. By being the perfect embodiment of the teachings given in these books, Nashta Pareshva Badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. There are two types of Bhagavatam. There is the book Bhagavatam, and there is the person Bhagavatam. What does person Bhagavatam mean? That means a person who lives these books at every minute, with his every thought, with his every word, with his every deed. He or she is the living embodiment of these teachings. So I have a question for you. How many such persons would Prabhupada like to have in his movement? How many persons Bhagavatam would he like to have in ISKCON? Just one, the founder Acharya? Or he like maybe have two or three? What do you think? Anyone like to venture an opinion? How many person Bhagavatams would Prabhupada like to have in ISKCON? Who can say? Can anyone answer my question? No one can answer my question. What's the answer? Someone has an answer? And that's very good. As many as possible. Thank you very much. Actually, Prabhupada predicted there would be 10 million person Bhagavatams in his ISKCON. He told us in Mayapur, he said, now we are 10,000. Then we will grow to 100,000. Then we will grow to 1 million. And then 10 million. He said there will be no scarcity of acharyas. So Prabhupada's vision for ISKCON was not just one acharya. He wanted 10 million acharyas in ISKCON. So, you have to ask yourself, am I an acharya? Am I always thinking in a way that is pure? Am I always speaking in a way that is pure? And am I always acting in a way that is pure? If I'm not, then I'm failing Prabhupada. Prabhupada wants me to be an acharya, an ideal example of Krishna bhakti. So am I doing that or not? You must always be introspective. You must always be observing your own mind, your own speech, and your own actions, to see if you're living up to what Prabhupada wants you to do or not. This is called mature Krishna consciousness. Not that you have to have somebody there with you all the time to tell you when you're in Maya. You should know when you're in Maya, so you can get yourself back on track immediately. So how will you become qualified to do this? You have to read the books very carefully. You have to sincerely chant Hare Krishna mantra at least 16 rounds daily. You have to seriously follow the regulated principles with devotion. And you have to seek out the association of advanced devotees of the Lord, who are solidly fixed in this process. If you will do these things, then you will become solid Vaishnava. You'll be able to come to the standard described in this wonderful verse. Being in full consciousness of Krishna. And in that state of pure bhakti, you will in fact be qualified to enter into that wondrous kingdom of God. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Everybody already knows everything. Or they already think they know everything. Or that everyone thinks they already know everything. Well, I have a policy. If you don't ask me questions, I'm going to start asking you questions. It's much easier to be the one that asks the question than the one that is asked the question. So you would rather be the asker rather than the asked. Better ask now. Because I'm getting ready to pick one of you and put you on the spot. I'll give you a few seconds here to come up with a question. Yes. Bhakti Klim, you come up here to feed me. I am hard of hearing, so he's going to be my hearing aid. All right, what did they ask?
He said he just came, so he doesn't know what is the topic of discussion, so can he ask just a general question?
Yes, general question is all right.
He would like to ask about Radha Londonishvara.
All right, I can try to answer them.
Krishna заедно со Рада обично би требало да биде во Вриндаван, значи би очекувале некое име кое е поврзано со Вриндаван, а не со некое име како што е Лондон, кој што е далеко од Вриндаван и од воопшто таа југа кога се појавил Кришна.
So he's asking that usually when they give the names of the deities there, Radharani and Krishna is in Vrindavan, but why they put the name of London, which is far from Vrindavan?
Yeah, why? Of course, that is only known to Srila
Prabhupada.
But the real point is this. London has become Vrindavan.
London stana Vrindavan.
You see, because Radha Lana and Ishvar, now London is also Vrindavan. You understand? Yeah. That's right. Wherever there is Krishna, and wherever there is Srimati Radharani, that place is Vrindavan. It also means Krishna is taking over the world. That's another meaning. Wherever Krishna goes, he becomes a controller of that place. Radha, what is it? Skopia Ishvar, you see. Wherever Krishna goes, he takes control of everything. Just like you know, when he came to Mathura, he was just a simple little village boy, like these little girls here. Small child. Just a simple little child coming, wandering from the village into the big city. But he didn't come in all nervous and shy and scared and looking around like that. No. He came strutting in with his cowherd boyfriends like they owned the place. He didn't care for the law and order of Kamsa. So as soon as he met the washerman of Kamsa, the washerman, the one who washes the clothes of Kamsa, he took a liking to, because he had the king's clothing, a very nice royal opulent cloth, isn't it? Krishna took an immediate liking to the king's clothing. So he told the washerman, "You give me that." The washerman became very agitated. "You impudent rascal, how dare you try to take the property of the king? Don't you know this belongs to the king of Mathura?" So with one death stroke at the back of his hand, Krishna separated his head from his body. And he and his cowherd boyfriends, they grabbed all the clothes and they just put on the king's clothes. And they continued to walk down the street to see what would be the next adventure in Mathura. So wherever Krishna goes, he takes over. Yatra yageshvara krishno tat danur dara what is it? Tatra shir jivayo bhut. I don't remember the exact Sanskrit, but wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and Arjuna, the supreme archer. There will certainly be extraordinary opulence, victory, morality. That is an extraordinary power. So yes, wherever Krishna goes, he becomes the lord of that place. Automatically, just by his presence, he doesn't have to do anything. He doesn't have to get elected to the parliament. He's automatically in control of that place just by being there. So actually every deity is the Ishvara of that place. Wherever there is a Krishna deity, he is the Ishvara of that city automatically. Yeah.
Also, isn't Krishna non-related with the devotees? So the devotees of Vandan, so his Vandanoniswara, just like Nanda Maharaj, just Nanda Dulal, Yashoda Dulal.
Yeah, Krishna, they can feel some relationship. They are Londonish, and he is also Londonish. They're sharing the same quality of being Londonish, London, whatever they call them, Londonians. I don't know what the word is, but, you know, every city has its own way of describing its residents. Londonites, yeah. Krishna is a Londonite, and they are all Londonites, yeah. So, any other question? We have to come to the point of pure devotional service. We have to be very, very eager to become pure in our service to Krishna. Because that's what will make us strong individually and collectively. And Bhagavatam says, Ahaitakiya pratiyata yayatma supersedati. That only by this type of pure, unmotivated, uninterrupted devotional service can one become fully satisfied. If one is not cultivating pure devotional service, sooner or later you're not going to be satisfied with Krishna consciousness. And you will want to go away. This is why we have to emphasize pure devotional service. Because only one who is determined to achieve pure devotional service can stay in the process for the long run. Long enough to become a pure devotee. Wouldn't it be a shame to spend so many years practicing Krishna consciousness and then to give it up? We've seen many people do that. They come and they practice it for many years, they're so fired up, they appear to be so advanced. And they go back to material life. Why? Because they never really understood what is the meaning of pure devotional service. So this is the most essential thing to clearly understand what is pure bhakti. And how to cultivate it every minute. The first thing is we have to admit that we don't have it. One of the biggest impediments for advancing in Krishna consciousness is called PD disease. Do you know what PD stands for? Anyone like to guess what does PD stand for? Yeah, pure devotee, that's right. Pure devotee disease. Yes, I am a pure devotee. One disciple one time, he felt he would show Prabhupada how humble he was. He wrote Prabhupada a letter. And he signed it, your most fallen disciple. Prabhupada said, you're not the most anything. You are simply insignificant. So the false ego is always there trying to trick us into thinking that we're more advanced than we really are. Maya is very tricky. She's very sneaky. We have to be very, very careful in how not to be suckered in by Maya's tricks. She weaves a web like a spider to entangle us in the web of Maya. So we have to be very, very careful not to let Maya ensnare our minds. We really have to know what is our true position. By studying the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Gopinath, I'm a materialistic rascal, always full of love. I have no good qualities. What did Prabhupada say about himself? He said, I have been designated Bhaktivedanta. But yet I have no bhakti and I have no Vedanta. So if Prabhupada was thinking that way about himself, what should we think about ourselves? You see, and Lord Chaitanya also. He said that I have no love for Krishna. If I had any love for Krishna, I would die immediately in his separation. The fact that I am still maintaining body and soul together proves I have no love for Krishna. So from these examples of Lord Chaitanya and of great acharyas, we can understand how to cultivate the mood of humility. That mood of humility makes one very strong in Krishna consciousness. Our weakness comes simply from pride, that's all. It doesn't come from, you know, lack of education. It doesn't come from lack of money. It doesn't come from lack of physical strength or material intelligence. It simply comes from a big false ego. That's what makes us weak in Krishna consciousness. One who has cultivated genuine humility, it doesn't matter what they may be. Man, woman, new devotee, old devotee, doesn't matter. One who has cultivated genuine humility is a very powerful devotee. They have the power to keep their mind fixed on Krishna's lotus feet. Twenty-four hours a day. Whether they're at the temple, whether they're at work, whether they're at school, whether they're at home, whether they're stuck in a traffic jam, wherever they may be, The humble person is always able to remain fixed in Krishna consciousness and never be disturbed by anything. As a lamp in a windless place is completely still and unflickering. The mind of a devotee who has learned how to be truly humble is never disturbed by anything. Such a devotee is truly lives up to the word dhira. So we are meant to become such dhira devotees. So kindly strive for this. Become advanced in Krishna consciousness. Do not be here today and gone tomorrow from this movement. So we'll stop here. We thank you very much. Rajavidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.